Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to John chapter 13. In verse 34, a new commandment I give to you. Now, there was a commandment, the Ten Commandments, actually. And then, on top of the Ten Commandments, there were the laws that Israel adopted. But God says, I'm doing away with those. I'm fulfilling them, actually. And after I fulfill them, they're no longer going to apply to you. He says, a new commandment, one that didn't exist before, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now, in a way, that's not really a new commandment, because love, the Word of God tells us, fulfills the law. And so all of the laws that came before this new commandment are fulfilled by this one commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Sometimes people talk about discipleship. Disciple is somebody who is a learner. And they talk about discipleship of other people. This is popular in Christians to have discipleship programs. Except, if you ask people, what is discipleship? What is a disciple? They can't really always tell you. They'll tell you, well, it's a learner. Yeah, that's the dictionary definition. But if I'm discipling someone, what am I doing? What is a disciple? And how do I become a disciple? How am I a disciple? And then people will sometimes say things like, well, you follow the law. Well, Jesus says, a new commandment I give you, I'm doing away with the old one. A new one I'm giving you. So following the law is not a mark of discipleship. Now, that doesn't mean that we go out to sin. But then again, whatever is not of faith is sin. Faith does not come by the law. Faith comes by the hearing of the word in Romans 10:17. So it's not about the law. In fact, it never has been about the law. This new commandment was actually a command that was part of the Ten Commandments, that you love God with all your heart, mind, and strength. That's really an old commandment, but that one commandment takes care of all the others. So Jesus is saying, I don't want you to focus on the law. I want you to focus on the love of God, that you receive it and that you express it. And by this, people will know that you are my disciple. If you're discipling somebody, then you're teaching them the love of God, how to live in the love of God, how to express the love of God. If I'm a disciple, I'm somebody who lives in the love of God and I express the love of God. In 1 John 4:8, he who does not love does not know God. So if I'm somebody who doesn't love, I don't actually know him. I may think I do. I might get religious. I might have effort. I might have awareness. I might even have something from the Word of God. But if I don't love, I don't know God. I don't have a working relationship with God. That doesn't say you're not saved. It means that your relationship did not produce a good understanding and appreciation and knowledge of who God is. For God is love. And then he continues in verse 9, and this was the love of God manifested toward us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Propitiation is a very big theological word, and it means that God took care of our sins. That's all it means. God took care of our sins. He dealt with them. He removed them by the blood. And so everything that had to be done in order for us to be one with God, in order for us to have a relationship with God, in order for us to be able to be one new man, the new creation with God, that was all done by Jesus, and He did it because He loved us. Now, we receive the love of God, and we give the love of God. That's what it means to be a disciple. We receive the love of God, and we give the love of God. A disciple is not necessarily someone with a whole lot of knowledge about the Bible. It helps. God wants us to know His Word. But that's not really what makes us disciples. There are people who know all that the Bible has to say, and yet they don't love. That's a person with a lot of knowledge, but doesn't know God. They might know about God, but they don't know God. It's like knowing about George Washington. There's a lot of people who know a lot of things about George Washington, but after George Washington died and all his friends died, nobody can say they actually know George Washington. No, they know about him, they don't know him. Well, sometimes people are the same way. Sometimes people know about God, but they don't know God. God is saying, you're going to know me if you love, because I am love. And if you know me, and if you know the fact that I am love, if you know the love of God, you will receive it from me. And because you received it from me, it'll flow through you to other people also. Now, love is not an emotion. Please understand that. Love is not an emotion. When you talk about love, most people in the world think it's an emotion. It's like this bubbly, butterfly, tingly emotion. That's not love. Sometimes they think love is this attachment that people have. And they feel very attached to somebody. That's not love. Sometimes people think love is affection. I really, really like them so much that I love them. That's not love either. That's affection. Affection is fine. All those things are fine in and of themselves, but they're not love. In 1 Corinthians 13:4, love is first patient and kind. If you don't know anything else about love, know those two things, because everything else flows from those two things. Love is patient and love is kind. And because love is patient and kind, then everything else follows. Like, love is not puffed up and it doesn't envy, it doesn't get jealous, it doesn't think evil, things like that. But that's all out of being patient and kind. Love is patient and kind. That means that God is patient and kind, and God expresses patience and kindness toward us. If we receive that patience and kindness, then we'll possess it so that we can give it to others. You can't give patience and kindness, you can't give love if you don't possess it first. It doesn't come from us. In 1 Corinthians 4:10, what do you have that you have not received? Now, if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as though you had not received it? In other words, sometimes people feel like they should be able to love without receiving love. That's not a possibility. You can't love if you don't have love. You can't have love if you don't receive love. Nobody receives love necessarily from another person. If there's nobody else who gives you love, you still have all the abundance of opportunity as anyone else to receive love, because God is love. He's the one who gives it. If you've actually received love from another person, that's because God gave it to that person, they received it, and then they passed it to you. But what if they didn't receive it? Then you can go to God directly and receive it. You don't need to receive it from another person to have it. It's nice if you receive it from another person. It's pleasant, it's edifying, but it's not necessary. God is available to you to love you. God is available to you to be patient toward you, to be kind toward you, to have all the expressions of love that exist. God is available to give them to you. And so you can get them directly from God, and all you do is you draw near to God in His Word, in prayer, in meditation, very simple things. You talk to your friends, talk to God. That's called prayer. So you talk to God and He responds to you by loving you. You receive His Word, and not only do you get His Word, but you also get His love through His Word. The Holy Spirit is inside of you. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the one who is love. He's inside of you to love you. And so there's all these incredible sources that God gives you directly to receive the love of God. But you can't love without receiving it first. In John 15:5, Jesus said, "Without me, you can do nothing." That means I can't love unless He gives me love. I can't respond unless He gives me the ability to respond. For that matter, if a person is in faith, they can't repent unless God gives them a gift of repentance. In other words, they can't change their mind about their sin unless God gives them something to change their mind, like the Word of God. God is there to love you. You receive that love. When you receive that love, you'll automatically, you don't even have to try, it'll just come out of you because it'll overflow like water out of a cup. It'll overflow from you and then you'll love other people and now you know that you're a disciple. I'm a learner. I'm a learner of what? I'm a learner of the nature of God, of who God is and of the love that He possesses and the mind that He gives us for our benefit. Now, I'm a disciple. I have the love of God. I'm a disciple. Now, sometimes people say to themselves, "I can't receive the love of God. Look at me." Even Christians say that, "Yeah, I got saved, but how am I ever going to live in the love of God? How am I ever going to pass on the love of God? I can't even get my act together. How in the world am I ever going to love?" And some Christians will tell you, "I don't love. I wish I did, but I don't." Well, the problem those people are having is actually not that they haven't received love, it's that they don't recognize when they do receive love. In Romans 5:8, God commends His love toward us in that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. Our condition was that we were not right with God. We were sinners. Our condition was that we didn't have a relationship with Him. Our condition was that we were alienated from Him. Now, Jesus fixed it by dying for us, but what He did when He died is He commended His love toward us. That word commended is important. In the original language, that word is synesthesin. And it means to take two things, put them together, and create some one new thing from them. So God took us, and He took His love, and He put them together, and He made one new creation out of His love and us. By virtue of being saved, I'm already one with the love of God. That's why I'm saved. I'm already one with the love of God. That's what Jesus did on the cross. He made us one with the love of God. He is the love of God. In Ephesians 2:15 and 16, He made us one with Himself and He is love. We can't say that we haven't or couldn't or didn't or don't know how to receive love. If we're saved, we already possess it. It's not something that we need to receive beyond possessing it. Sometimes, though people already possess love, they don't know how to maintain that reality in their life. They don't know how to make love real in their life. They don't know how to respond to it in their life. Jude 21 tells us how to do that. It says there, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for mercy. Well, that's how I keep myself in the love of God. I look for the mercy of God. The mercy of God is simply an expression of the patience of God. And so I look for the mercy of God. I look for the patience of God. If I have a difficult thing in my life, or for that matter, an easy thing, at all times, I always look for the mercy of God in it. If somebody else is having a difficult time in their life, I look for the mercy of God for them. And often that will be expressed as patience. If I fail somehow, or if I'm in a tough test, I expect God to be patient with me in it. And then He will give me the patience that I've expected from Him. That's looking for mercy. If somebody else is having a difficult time, maybe they need patience. And I become the expression of the patience of God toward them because I've received it for myself and now I have it to give. You don't have it if you don't receive it. But because you're saved, you already have it. God already gave it to you. You keep yourself in it by looking for mercy all the time, looking for mercy. Now, that seems vague. How do I look for mercy? And some people may have some idea, well, maybe tough times or I fail and I turn to the mercy of God. I accept mercy from God rather than accepting or thinking that something else is going to happen that's not as kind as mercy. It really works like this. In Romans 5:3, sometimes people think that tough times are bad times. But that's not true. Tough times are tough times. That does not make them bad times. Tough times can be some of the best times that people have. They're not fun necessarily, but fun doesn't determine anything. It says there in that portion, we glory in tribulation. In other words, we find a lot of hope and expectation from God, and we see the glory of God in our trials, in our troubles, knowing that tribulation works patience. Well, here we are back at the first characteristic of the love of God. Tribulation works patience. How is it that I can receive the love of God? Tribulation works patience. There's a lot of times when people say, I can't do it. I can't take God seriously. I can't overcome my sin. I can't get things together. I can't do what is right. I can't make the good choices. I just can't. I don't have it in me. I can't. The truth is, you can, but you won't. It's a will issue, very often. You can, but you won't. Well, it's so hard, it's so complicated. No, it's really not. It's incredibly simple. It is, what do you actually want that complicates things? It's actually really simple. But when trials comes, when something difficult comes into their life, all of a sudden, oh, I can and I will. I sure will. I can. Oh, yes, of course I can. And they embrace the things of God. Because now there's a trial in their life, a tough time in their life. And they run to God to help them with the tough time. You see, you can. You really can. Tough times can make us willing when at other times we might not be. Because we're distracted by selfishness, essentially. And in tough times, we can't afford selfishness. And so we run to God. Tribulations will do that for us. we run to God, and they produce the first characteristic of God's love in us. That's patience. Patience then produces experience with God. I see God coming through for me over and over, and now I've experienced God coming through for me, taking care of me, helping me, providing for me, protecting me. Experience will produce hope. Hope is not a wishful thought. Hope is confident expectation. I know He will because He always has. That's hope. Hope does not disappoint. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. Well, it says, I keep myself in the love of God, looking for mercy, but that's kind of vague until God sends that tough time. And then looking for mercy becomes very, very clear. And I run to Him, looking for Him to be kind to me, merciful, patient with me, gracious toward me, to help me, to provide for me, to protect me. And all of that falls under the category of mercy. Well, look for mercy all the time, not just in the tough times. Look for God to be kind to you all the time. Look for God to protect you all the time. Look for God to provide the things you need to help you with whatever it is that's going on. Look for Him to bless you. Even if you're being blessed, look for Him to bless you more. And look for it all the time. Because if you won't look for it then God says, okay, I'll teach you how to look for it. And I'll bring a tough time. Because in the tough time, you will definitely learn how to look for it. And when you look for mercy, you keep yourself in the love of God. When you keep yourself in the love of God, you exercise being a disciple. That's all it is to be a disciple. Being a disciple simply means you receive love and you give love. And the beautiful thing is that God will make you into a disciple because He does love you and He wants you to receive it. Amen? If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive You as my Savior. Thank You for loving me so much that You died for me, so I can have eternal life with You. Amen.